Okay, can we go to Psalms? And I want to look at. Can't find Psalms on the computer. Oh, here it is. Okay, Psalms 142. And notice what the psalmist says at verse 7 of Psalm 142. Now I'm reading from the NASB, whatever that is. Anyway, verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. Now let's go to Psalm 143. And you will read on verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. And in verse 11, for the sake of your name, O Lord, revive me in your righteousness. Bring my soul out of trouble. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to pray for those whose souls are in prison today. We pray, O Lord, that your mighty hand may deliver those that are in prison and give us the freedom to be your children. The freedom to serve you, the freedom to do what you want us to do. Because, oh Father, the miracle you do is that you give freedom to those that are in prison. And thank you, Lord, that you will bless us this morning. Guide me, guide the church, guide their hearts, and your blessing be upon us all. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Now, when we think of prison, we think of the many people, many of God's people who have been in prison. And we think of Joseph, he was in prison. And Daniel was also in prison. And the three young Jewish men were arrested and were in prison. And well, Paul was in prison, and Peter was in prison, and Timothy was in prison. They were all in prison. And you wonder, David, have you been in prison? No. Rob, have you been in prison? No. Have you been in prison? These pastors have not been in prison. Well, there's something wrong with them, isn't it? I've not been in prison, but I'm on a wheelchair, so. And they've all been in prison, these people. And you wonder, what did they do in prison? Did they start banging at the doors of the prison? Let me out. I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. No, they didn't. Let's look at them briefly. Think of Joseph. He was in prison. And he didn't steal anything. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't do anything wrong. He was in prison because of a false accusation. A woman accused him falsely of wanting to rape her, And he was innocent, absolutely innocent. He was a slave and he was innocent. His brothers sold him into slavery, but he was in prison. And what did they do? What did he do in prison? Did he start saying, Lord, this isn't fair? Lord, I didn't deserve this. This is not the God that Abraham told us about. This is not the God Jacob told us about. Lord, there's something wrong here. No, he did not say that. He did not grab hold of the prison guardian and say, look, I'm innocent. Get me the best lawyer in town. He did not do that. What did he do? He served. He served. He was so good at serving. I don't know what he served at, but he did some serving. He was so good at it that the prison keeper said, well, look, I'm going to take a few days off. Just look after the prison yourself. In the morning, he says, look, I'm going for a coffee. That's what they do in Italy. Everybody goes for a coffee in the morning. I'm going for a coffee. Look after the prisoners. But not only that, Joseph had a great relationship with God in prison. How do you know? Well, two people had dreams, and he interpreted them. And you don't interpret dreams unless you have a good relationship with God. And so this was Joseph in prison. Oh, very strange guy, this Joseph, isn't he? But what did the others do in prison? Oh, let's look at Daniel. Daniel spent a very enjoyable evening in the company of lions in the lion den, didn't he? And he was always serving the prince or the king or whatever was leading in that moment. And the guys or the people who were surrounding the king were jealous of Daniel. And so they said, well, we're going to get Daniel in prison. And they told the king, King, you're the only you're the only God. You're the only good guy. You're great. Do you know that, King? And the king says, yes, I do. Thank you. Lovely. Lovely. Look, make a law. Make a law saying anybody that adores any other god apart from you be thrown to the lions. Oh, I like that. Great. So the king decrees the law. And as soon as Daniel hears about it, well, you'd think, what do you think? You know, 40 days, I think this law lasted, if I'm not wrong. And what would you do? Well, you'd, okay, Lord, look, 40 days, it's best that I just pray secretly. Don't want to draw any notice, any attention. There's all this these problems here. They're going to, no, he doesn't say that. He opens the window as before towards Jerusalem. He kneels down as before. He prays the Lord God as before. And nobody can say Daniel is a coward. Daniel hasn't got the strength. No, he praised the Lord and everybody saw it. And he was arrested. And he was thrown into the lion's den. Now, I cannot imagine what it is like to be in a lion's den. And I don't think Daniel was too happy to be in a lion's den either. But can you imagine the lion, a bit like David's dog Bonnie, just comes towards you with a big string and rope in his mouth and wants to play tug of war with you, right? Or is looking for some toast. That's how Daniel found these lions. Incredible. But he continued to serve God. But what about his other three friends? These three friends were serving Nebuchadnezzar. That's how we called him when I was small. I don't know if you've changed the pronunciation now. Nebuchadnezzar was another megalomaniac. And he said, well, I am going to build a massive statue of myself. And anybody who, when the orchestra plays, had this massive orchestra, when the orchestra plays, does not fall down on their faces and adore me, well, I'm going to throw them into the furnace, into the burning fire. Now, there were the three Jews, three young Hebrews, and they were in the field or wherever the assembly was, and they said to themselves, well, we're not going to give in. We're not going to throw ourselves on our faces. It says in the commandments that we're not to adore any other god. But you can imagine their friends, because there were thousands of Hebrews, not just three, thousands of Hebrews telling them, look, don't be stupid. Just pretend. God will understand. Throw yourself down. It's only a couple of minutes. Then you can get up and then you can don't do what you like. Can you imagine their parents? Okay, no, you'll get thrown into the fire. But they said, no, we're not going to compromise. No, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to obey the Lord. And so thousands upon thousands threw their faces on the ground, threw themselves on the ground when the orchestra played. And everybody could see these three people standing up. And the king goes berserk. Who are these three? Bring them here. And he brings them there and he says, look, you three, you're either going to throw yourselves on the face when the music plays, or I'm going to throw you into that fiery furnace. Do you see it? And I'm going to heat it more and more and more. And he heated it so much that his own soldiers died because of the heat. And they say, look, King, we know you're powerful, we know you're great and whatever, but we serve a greater God. And if he frees us, praise God. If he doesn't free us, we're not going to bow down to you anyway. And so he gets even angrier and gets his soldiers to throw them into the fiery furnace. Now, I don't know what it's like to be walking in a fiery furnace. I don't particularly fancy the idea, and I don't think they did either. But they found themselves in the fiery furnace. Okay, first of all, the Bible tells us they were tied up, but they were free. And then there was someone with them, someone who looked like the Son of Man. Now, if I were them, I would say, look, can we get out of here quickly, please? But there was no hurry in the Son of Man. No, says the Son of Man, don't worry. The flames are not going to touch you. We're going to stay here, and we are going to get these men to marvel at us. Let me just anticipate what I'm going to say later. How many of you are in a fiery furnace? How many of you are in such trials that the people of the world just think, well, how does he do it? Well, you can tell them, I do it because I've got the Son of Man with me. I can do it because I've got Jesus with me. And I am free in the midst of my prison. I am free. Now, if we look at Peter, he was in prison too. Now, Peter had a problem that he was, every time something important happened, he seems to fall asleep. Probably like some of you are now doing in the, that are listening to me. And Peter fell asleep. You know, you have Jesus transfigured. You see Moses. You see Elijah. You see the greats of the past and you fall asleep. It's not logical, but Peter falls asleep. Well, he's like that. But anyway, he was in prison. He was arrested. And he had a series of guards there guarding him. And he was meant to be executed the day after. Okay, he was supposed to, I don't know, was to be beheaded or crucified or whatever. But he was supposed to die the next day. Have you ever imagined dying the next day? I don't know, but he fell asleep. But he didn't sleep because he was sleepy, because he'd eaten too much. He fell asleep because he was relaxed in the Lord. And he said, I don't care what happens to me. If they kill me, I go to him. If they don't, I will serve him for the rest of my life. And I think the soldiers were amazed. Look at this guy. He is going to die tomorrow. Look at him sleeping, snoring away. And the soldier says, well, we've never seen prisoners like that. They don't do that. They start shouting, I'm innocent. They start banging on the prison bars. They don't fall asleep. And when you think of Paul in prison, Paul is another one who'd, well, if he was like me, and he goes to Philippi, he goes because he sees a vision. He says, God, you wanted me in Philippi. God, we expelled a demon from that girl, and here I am in prison. Lord, it's not fair. Lord, I don't deserve it. Oh, we often feel it, don't we? Why don't you put that guy in prison? He deserves it, not me. I go to church every day. I go to church on Sunday. I even go on the Sunday evening. I go during the week. I read. I pray the Bible. I tell everybody about you. And here I am in prison. But Paul is made, as Shakespeare said, of sterner stuff. And at midnight, he's a bit different from you. Like from Liverpool, they go to sleep at 10 o'clock. But in Mediterranean lands, at midnight, life starts. And Paul and Silas in prison, they start singing. They start singing hymns. And they start singing, I don't know, Hillsong perhaps. I don't know what they sang. They start singing. That's not logical, is it? You know, you're in prison. You're in the dirtiest prison possible. You're in the bottom floor where there are rats and mice and you've got no toilets to go to. It's a stinky place, a horrible place, a dirty place. And your legs are in these rings on the wall, and it's terrible. And you start singing. And the prison guard looks at them and says, what are they singing about? They're probably drunk. And the others say, how come they're singing? They're singing, my brothers and sisters, because they are free. Can you be free in prison? You bet you can. They were free. So you see, all these people in prison, they were free. Free to praise. Free to relax, free to serve, free to be good and give testimony. But it's not logical, is it? No, it's not logical. But Christ is with us, and we can do it. Now, just imagine, who is in prison, really? Joseph is in prison, but he serves, he talks to God. He interprets dreams. He works in the charisma. He's fully conscious of being in God. Who's in prison? He is in prison, or is Potiphar's wife in prison? Potiphar's wife, who knows that she condemned an innocent man. Potiphar's wife, who every time her husband looks at him, looks at her, says, "You haven't told me the truth." Who's in prison? Not Joseph. Who's in prison, Pharaoh or Joseph? Pharaoh that has dreams of hunger, of poverty. Who's in prison, Joseph or Pharaoh? Pharaoh's in prison. Who's in prison, Daniel or the king? Oh, it's written the king couldn't sleep that night. Daniel was sleeping on the lion's stomach. Lovely cushion. And he was really enjoying it. And the king, he couldn't sleep. Didn't know what to do. The sun wouldn't rise quick enough. And he was in prison, not Daniel. Who was in prison, Nebuchadnezzar or the three men in the fiery furnace with Jesus with them? Who's in prison? They're not in prison. It's Nebuchadnezzar who's in prison, who realizes that there is a God that's greater than him. Who's in prison, Paul and Silas, or the prison guard who's wondering what to do if these people escape, who's ready to kill himself? Who's in prison? Who's in prison, Peter or the Sanhedrin who that condemned him? Who's in prison? Not Peter, he's sleeping. They're in prison. And I haven't spoken of this, but who's in prison, Jesus or Pontius Pilate? Have you thought of that? Who's the real guy in prison and who's free? It's Pilate that's in prison, that he knows that Jesus is innocent, and yet he has not the moral strength to free him. Do you see that it is God's plan not for you to be in prison? You're free. But for those that put you in prison. For example, you know, this comes to me now. The demons are in prison. Oh, but the demons do a lot of harm. Yes, but they can't do anything else. They are condemned. They know they're condemned. They know they will be punished for eternity. They are in prison, not us. We are free. I'm free on this wheelchair. I am free. Hallelujah. Now, how do we get our freedom? How do we get our freedom? First of all, I want you to notice what we read. Lead or take my soul out of prison. And I feel the real prison for many of us in the West is not the physical prison. But it is a prison that is described in Psalm 143. If you can read it or put it up, it says from verse 3, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. Answer me quickly. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit." There you notice what it is. What is the real prison for many of God's children, especially here? The enemy tries to get us in prison with guilt, feelings of guilt, feelings of depression, feelings of sadness, feeling that God does not answer anymore. And I think many of us go through these periods when we are not free, when the devil has put our soul into prison. But today God wants to free anybody who feels like that. And I want to show you two examples of people who are free. The first is David. In Psalm, I keep getting it wrong, it's either 56 or 57. And I believe it's 57. I don't know what I've done. This. Psalm 57. This psalm is incredible. This psalm if you read the introduction, it says, "For the choir director, sect to Altashet, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave." Now, I don't know how many of you have been in the caves when people have been trying to kill you, but in the cave, David writes this psalm. And in the beginning, it's just as we'd expect a psalm written in the cave to be. And it says, for example, in verse 2, verse 4. It says, "My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." Have you ever imagined these men with teeth like swords? Lions, spears, arrows. But in verse 5, he starts to change tone. And he says, "Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Then he goes down again. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, a dung pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. Selah, my heart is steadfast. Oh, my God, my heart is steadfast. Yes, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Do you see what's happening here? On the one hand, he's saying, I can't do it. Everything's wrong. Everything's just terrible. But then all of a sudden he says, no, I will sing praises. I will praise the Lord. This is Paul and Silas in prison. We can look at and see how things black are. We can listen to the rats. We can think how dirty everything is. Or we can sing. Or we can praise the Lord. And just read this marvelous praise of God that David writes. And he says, awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. Gets the music going. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. This is written by a man in the cave, by a man in prison, who just suddenly finds freedom in God and starts giving thanks to the Lord among the peoples, among the nations, and looking at the loving kindness of God, which is great in the heavens. The truth in the clouds, be exalted, O God, through all the nations. And this is one example. And the second example is my friend, the Apostle Paul, and he writes to Timothy, just look at what he writes to Timothy, chapter 4, at verse 16. Incredible. This is the Apostle Paul, the doctor of the church, the greatest apostle speaking. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May not be counted against them. First defense, he was on trial in Rome. And the Roman church did not support him. And the Roman Christians deserted him. You know, Lord, why do I have to go through this? They're deserting me. Lord, it's not right. But verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Now, many of us stop there. I don't know about here, but in Italy, you get lots of testimonies. I was in hospital. I was sick. But the Lord was with me and strengthened me. And great. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, so that through the proclamation, through me, the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Do you understand what he's saying here? I'm alone in prison. I'm arrested. I'm going to die. I'm going to be executed. I've got everything going against me. The churches don't even support me. Everybody deserts me. But my God is with me, and not only will he strengthen me, I will tell everybody in the courtroom. I will tell the emperor himself about Jesus. That is freedom. That is freedom. And that is what God wants for every one of you. To move out from the cave. To move out from your position and just praise him and be free. Christians in Italy, I don't know here, possibly it's the same, but they're always complaining. Everything's wrong. The taxes are too high, and the son and the children are rebels, and everything's going wrong. And I say, no, no, no. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him, serve him, do what you are called to do. Never let the devil keep you in jail. Now, I'm going to pray now. And I want to pray. And if anybody feels in prison now, if anybody feels that the devil has put him in prison now, I would like you, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but let's pray one moment. Let's just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus now, I want to pray, O Lord, if there are any person who is in prison, O Father, I want to pray, O Lord, that you will free him now, that he will have the voice of David to sing your praises, that he will have the strength of Paul to proclaim your victory, that he will really be free, free to serve you, free to do good, free not to listen to the flesh, free not to listen to the devil and not to look at the evil, free to serve you. I pray, O Lord, now that you do wonders, that you touch every person that needs prayer. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I was wondering if, Rob, can I have a chair here? If it's okay with you, I don't know how you do these things. I just wanted anybody who is in prison, feels in prison, to come forward, and I will pray with him or with her. Just sit here. Okay. If there's anybody else who feels the need of prayer, I will pray.